Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports, the GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Talking college football, talking NBA and NFL. Last night, Pelicans tipped off the regular season.
Explained that to the official.
Now Graham pulls up for a deep right leg.
There you go.
Oh, my heavens.
That's a bucket right there. And he doesn't have to do that all the time. But if he does enough of that, man, the way you stretch the floor in that situation.
It was game one, and it is our question of the day. Pelicans fans, what did you think of the season opener? Pelicans go down to Philadelphia, 117-97. Brandon Ingram, 25 points. Nikhil Alexander-Walker got the start, 23 points. Jonas Valanciunas, 9 points. 3 of 19 from the floor. You have to imagine that's not going to happen too many more times. One of my three takeaways was that. You just breathe. I know it stinks. He's going to have a better game than that. It's going to help you. My number one takeaway was that B.I. and Nah scored in the 20s there. That was some help. You needed some more offense and things of that nature. I still think Willie Green's trying to find that starting lineup. He said that after the game, and it's something that we'll talk with Jake Madison coming up, as Willie Green said, look, it's one of the things that it's not locked in stone just yet.
It's not set in stone, not right now. Long season. Stuff just happens throughout the course of the season, so we don't want to necessarily get locked into a lineup right now, but hopefully we will at some point and find a group that starts the game well for us, a group that we're really comfortable with. Right now, just we're not there yet.
Didn't care for Josh Hart starting, nothing against him. I think he's a guy that brings energy and stuff off of the bench. Because of his lack of size against the people that he was guarding, I would have started, Trey Murphy, Herbert Jones, Najee Marshall. I didn't care for it. He did wind up getting injured, though, in the game. It's not a good thing. An update on him?
Yes, he had a right knee injury. We'll update you guys as he gets further testing, but his x-rays were negative. So that's a positive for us. We'll see where he is tomorrow.
As for his thoughts on the game, again, Nikhil Alexander Walker getting 23 points. His thoughts?
Exactly that. We got standards. Then we got to play off each other more as guys drive, drifting, filling, cutting. I think we're just kind of standing and kind of waiting to see. And then the guy gets in trouble. It's like, we'll like step back and not really give him a target. I think that's what down the stretch kind of got us in trouble with the stagnant offense.
That was the thing that was part of the most disappointing of all. Steven, going to get to you in about 30 seconds. That was the thing that was most disappointing at all is because I'm seeing it in the comments. We're going to get to them here as well. It's our question of the day at ESPN Radio. No link in calling as well. There's a lot of same old pals. Once again, it's the same old pals. Once again, there's lack of ball movement. Once again, they're not aggressive. Once again, you can't cover the open shot. Same old pals is what I keep getting. I'm asked, Jake, is that a fair assessment or not? One quick bite. Then we'll go to Steven and Slidell here. Here's Willie Green on the fact that the ball did not move enough.
Yeah, that's part of the graph. Like we have to continue to play with force and with pace, purpose. And we got, it was maybe four or five possessions where it was late in the clock and we didn't get a good look. And we can't play like that. We have to play this way. And especially with a team like that, that know how to slow it down and they can throw it to Embiid, throw it to Drummond, and they got shooters all over the place. We got to get out and play fast.
Was Graham a bright spot for you guys? 29 minutes, 18 points. I thought it was a nice performance from first game. Five assists to go there as well. Steven, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. How are you? Hello,
I
Steven.
I went to the game last night.
Hey, go ahead, bud.
Yep, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yep.
You hear me?
Go ahead. Yep, I can now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I went to the game last night, and as I was walking up to the arena, you know, I knew how I was feeling. I was kind of feeling like, what am I getting myself into? I'm going to be honest with you. I expected to be excited and pumped up and charged, but I didn't have that feeling. So I decided to ask the guy walking next to me. I said, hey, man, how are you feeling about tonight? And he was feeling the same way. So as we got closer to the arena, you could tell there was the energy in the building was this apprehension. Like, we wanted it to be good, but, right, you know, we've seen the same story so many times that people were afraid to invest emotionally, right? So, you know, once I got in the arena, I'm going to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed with the crowd size as we were leading up, but it started to fill out. Then the Pels went into their pregame, and it got, you know, a regular basketball game. Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed, when they announced the, it may be nothing, it may be something, but when they announced the full roster, they started with the inactives.
Right.
They announced Dalton Holmes. He came running out the tunnel and everybody cheered. Mm-hmm. They announced Zion Williamson. No one ran out the tunnel. I'm like, well, we were hoping to give him a big roar, a big support, opportunity for the city to show him, hey, mm-hmm, we're here for you, but he wasn't there for us.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the guy next to me, he says, man, I'm starting to wonder about this dude. So it may be nothing. Maybe they didn't intend for him to run out, but then why announce his name? And it was just like this, he ghosted us. So I'm going to be honest with you, it rubbed me the wrong, like I said, maybe nothing, maybe mm-hmm, something, you know, but he wasn't there. Then after all the other announcements, all the starters were announced, and Coach Willie Green, he comes out the tunnel and sits on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nothing, maybe something. Somebody needs to ask him because in a metropolitan area, I moved here back home from Dallas. Sure. In Dallas, that would be the first question post game. Hey, what happened to Luka Doncic? Why didn't he come out?
Right. I've said this a lot of times. I don't know the reason. I can ask over there as to what was the case. But to your point, the phrase tone deaf or not understanding or reading the crowd or things that nature, when most of the day, and I'm just being honest here, when most of the day, the memes, the gifs, the stories are about his weight. And he posts or they post a photo of him in his black suit that he had made and all of that. I'm with you. If he can't run, which, by the way, he was cleared to last week.
Walk on out.
Can you at least walk? I'm with you. To me, and again, they can call me and tell me the reasoning why. But that is absolutely a failure to understand that. Just what you're saying. I mean, it's to your point, though. I already have a fan base that's like, here we go again. Let's be honest. They actually showed up for people like you, for you to actually show up. Now,
dude, I bought season tickets for the first time this year.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. And if the reason is, well, what if he would have gotten booed? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of why
can
would you, you not? Why would you not,
I
though?
You?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't you,
he did get,
to your point,
there were people who started,
come on out.
People started booing. People right. started booing when he didn't come out. And I mean, well, it was, you know, they moved to the next name. So, of course, the PNL
hey.
Kind of drowns it out. But
like
you
I
know,
said, but imagine Steven.
Big ovation.
Steven, that's my point. Imagine if he comes out there and just trots. Just trots. Yep. Oh, look, he's running. He's getting closer. There he is. A way to show love and all of that aspect. But look, again, man, like I said, the way you kind of presented it to me when you called, I said the same thing when that article in The Athletic came out. Maybe something, it may be nothing. But he never clarified that story, so you're making it something. It may be something,
well,
it may be nothing. When during summer league play, the rest of your team is there and you're not. By not doing it, you're making it something. I to your point, it may be nothing. But when a whole bunch of something or nothings keep adding up, the problem is perception becomes reality. And Steven, maybe he was in the bathroom. Maybe nobody went and got him. I don't get it. But my point is this. You had all evening. You had all day.
Yep.
To get ready for that, and there's a timing sheet. Everybody knows when everybody's going to be available. At the very least, you're right. The franchise player probably should have walked out when his name was called. I'm with you, Steven. It's hard to defend that.
I have one other thing about the actual game. You know, going into the game, I kept saying, I don't want to see number 41. I love Garrett Temple. He's a Louisiana kid. I want to see him. Not kid, he's a grown man.
Oh, no.
But I was so happy not to see him in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I'm not questioning the rotations or anything like that. That Willie Green's using. Willie gets the benefit of the doubt. He's not Stan Van Gundy. He's not, you know, Alvin Gentry. But when I saw him one of the first off the bench, I'll be honest with you, almost vomited. Not because he's a bad basketball player, but because he's taking minutes from players who should be developing. I know part of his role is to, you know, provide leadership and guidance, and they have to see him play to be able to, for his voice to resonate. But last night wasn't the night.
Look, man, like I said, I'm willing to give benefit of the doubt, and I'm willing to give learning experience. Again, it's just my personal opinion. In no world, underworld, you know, 3-on-3 in a game of horse, should Josh Hart start over Najee Marshall or Trey Murphy or Herbert Jones? I'm just, not a game of pig, not a game of horse, and I'm not being disrespectful to him. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
If I got 6'8 that can defend and shoot threes, I'm going with 6'8 that can defend and shoot threes. I don't care if he's never played in the NBA. That's just me. But that's just me. There's a reason NFL teams are starting rookie quarterbacks. Right? I mean,
throw them
out there. I mean, are you beating the Lakers this year? No. I mean, is Josh Hart starting or Garrett Temple playing over the younger guys going to get you closer to LA? No. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Well, I still kind of lump Josh Hart in with the younger guys.
I like the guy. He brings my energy. But I can go back if you want me to. In the first 2 minutes, I sent Ali Cosell, Jordan. I was sending people screenshots and texts. Literally, for like the first 7 plays that the Sixers were involved in, they were targeting Josh Hart. Josh Hart. The rest of the floor scooched over, and they went after Josh Hart. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
like, I'm not being ugly. Right.
Maybe that's what Willie needed to see.
Well,
so, you know, I could have told you that was happening.
Yeah, I know.
I trust Willie. I trust that he's going to, you know, he comes from good stock with Monty Williams, and that's a whole other story. I wish Monty was still here. But, you know, the other thing that I'll get to, the game experience. I went to the preseason game, and I gave him a pass, the Pelicans organization. I gave them a pass because it was preseason. They have to step up the fan experience in the stadium. Oh, okay. Where were the – I mean, I haven't been to a home preseason game in a while because I just moved back from Dallas. But we have, like, a hype team. We don't have like cheerleaders or they're, I mean, it's like the fans provide the entertainment for the other fans with the camera constantly moving around, showing everybody. That's cool. But maybe just invest a little bit more in the fan experience and fans will come. Winning brings the fans, right?
Sure.
But yeah. the game day experience or game night experience brings us back.
I hear. Steven, thank you for the time, man. Thank you for the phone call.
Right,
I'll hit this
it.
First break, and I'll bring in Mr. Jake Madison, and we'll discuss Steven's experience and his thoughts on the game here as well. It's the Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
I am high in the sky, looking at you.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
On August 29, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ori.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodaux Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodaux Regional.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Not quite sure I have. I thought Brandon went in, and he went in with force, and he didn't get the whistle. Like I said, look, we're a young team. We have to continue to work, continue to build. We'll get those calls eventually, but hats off to Philadelphia. They're a veteran team. That's pretty much it.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pels at NOLA. Jake joins us this afternoon to talk about the Pels season opener and that in particular as well. 26 shot attempts, Jake. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be on talking some Pelicans basketball for regular season now.
I know. Finally, the season is here, man. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on what we've seen already in just 2 days of action. But look, with Brandon Ingram, he was one of the positives last night. Obviously, one of what liked the win. And I said the first 10 games, 20 games, we're going to be looking at things as this team sort of builds. Valanciunas even said that yesterday after shoot around. They have to now learn how to win and play with one another. The fact that he shot 26 times and didn't go to the free throw line once. Come on, Jake.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous, right? And those weren't like just 26 jumpers. He only took three 3-point attempts in this game, right? He looked like not quite like a different player, but he looked, as Willie Green, more assertive. You know, he looked like he kind of had some sort of edge to him that he didn't really have the past 2 years here in New Orleans where he wanted, and this is why he bulked up, right? This is why he looked like a new person at Media Day. He said at Media Day he wants to be the one delivering the blows. He wants to play aggressive. He wants to be assertive. And he certainly showed it off. He was getting to the rim. You saw a couple of very big dunks at key moments in this one. You could see some of the court spacing that the Pelicans imagined when Zion Williamson is out there, and that opened the floor for Brandon Ingram during all of this. And he was, you know what, above average on defense, I thought, which is a big step forward for him. So it was a really good night if you're a Brandon Ingram fan. And if he can maintain that all year long, I'm kind of excited to see what this team is going to be able to do through these first 10, 20 games when they don't have Zion Williamson.
He got the start, 34 minutes, 23 points, only one turnover, five rebounds, an assist, four threes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I think if you're a Pels fan, that's a good opening night performance in that it looks like a continuation of what we heard, right, in Nashville, or what we've seen in the preseason, that this guy might actually be a guy that he's just a starting shooting guard. I mean, you can't go wrong with 23 points there and just one turnover. That means you're handling the ball, you're doing good things.
No, look, he was great offensively, and the 4-for-8 from three is also really big because his three-point shot's been a little bit inconsistent through the first 2 years of his career. And look, his scoring was a little bit inconsistent in preseason too. So to come out against a team like this, it's one of the better defensive teams in the league, to be able to show off some craftiness, right? He scored in a variety of different ways and showed off a couple of moves you didn't really see from him last year. That speaks to his growth. And you know, defensively is where he was really lacking in this game. You saw freaking Korkmaz get really hot, and it was basically because of defensive miscues by Nikhil Alexander-Walker. But in terms of scoring, he gave you exactly what you were hoping for. He proved he should probably be a starting guard, though I do wonder if maybe Willie Green's going to change the rotation up a little bit, because this team in last night's game basically got zero production from the bench.
Yeah.
Through the first, three and a half quarters, they had 5 points from the bench, and that was just Kyra Lewis Jr. They eventually got a couple of other guys to contribute once the game was out of hand. Do you maybe need to have that kind of discussion internally with your coaching staff at the front office, too, of maybe do you need to put Nikhil Alexander-Walker with the bench to kind of give you a little bit more balance? But look, he proved he can be kind of that go-to guy and step up if need be, and I think that's a very, very useful player to have, and we'll see if he continues this.
Along the positive side still as well, too, is everyone's first chance to see Devontae Graham as the starting point guard. 18 points in 29 minutes. Did have three turnovers, five assists, though, got a steal. What's your overall performance on Devontae Graham?
Yeah, he was good. He had a rough preseason. His shot wasn't falling. He was clearly trying to be more of a pass-first creator type of point guard than just kind of doing what he's best at, which is just raining three-point shots and making those three-point shots. And he seemed to be a little bit more comfortable in his role in this game, knowing that he could shoot. He didn't need to try and set up other guys and kind of really focus on that and kind of, you know, let the game come to him and play within himself, to use some cliches there. But I thought he did that, right? And this is really his first time playing with Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram played in one preseason game, so this was essentially the first real preseason game for New Orleans. You could see them still figuring some things out, but starting to get it going. And I liked him in that role. I thought he fit perfectly.
All right, now to the category that I'm trying to craft perhaps today as, you know, things that we'll hope to improve on. And look, I have to imagine that Jonas Valanciunas is not going to go 3-of-19 from the floor again. So how do you look at that, and what do you tell Pels fans? 9 points, 3-of-19, 12 boards, though.
So the good thing about his performance was he was able to kind of influence the game, right, with his rebounding. He dished out three assists as well. Didn't turn the ball over, showed he's just kind of like a reliable big and a guy that doesn't just kind of breathe air out there on the court and take up space. You know, it's unfortunate he goes 3-of-19 on the day he gets a $30 million two-year extension. Doesn't make that look particularly good just in terms of timing, but he's not going to have very many games like this. This is a guy that shoots above 50% from the field, you know, the past couple of years. And if you go back and watch some of the misses he had, like, I don't know, just the rim seemed angry at him or something like that, because normally he's going to make the majority of those shots. He's a very good finisher down low, near the basket, in the restricted area. It just wasn't his night. And sometimes that's kind of how it goes. So until he starts doing this regularly and costing the Pelicans games, I look at this as more of an outlier and kind of a bit of an aberration than what he's going to be able to provide. Mm-hmm. He's not going to light it up like Zion Williamson normally will when he's back out there, but you want him to kind of be a bridge between some of that interior scoring. And if he can get you 15 points per game, 16, 18, something like that, I think you'd feel pretty good about what he's able to provide just to kind of give you that interior threat. It'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. He may struggle Friday against the Bulls a little bit. They're a pretty big team. They've got a lot of length and size. But overall, he's going to be fine. You know, he was the best player in that trade with the Memphis Grizzlies. So New Orleans, you know, in a sense, wins that by getting the best player, and he'll end up showing it this season.
Speaking of Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. At Nola Jake's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Got a couple more minutes here with him. Look, it's something that you've said, and everyone basically that's covered the team and works for the team has said, Willie Green's toughest job to start is going to be, who's my starting five, who's my rotation? Obviously, things would be a little bit different perhaps if Zion was in. But with you don't have that there, let's see what that rotation sort of is. I wasn't a fan of Josh Hart starting. I just, you know, underworld, any world, you know, game of horse, pig. I'm starting 6'8 Trey Murphy, give me Herbert Jones, Najee Marshall, just because of the size thing that I think you could benefit from against a team like Philly. How do you see this moving forward? I know he got injured yesterday, and that stinks. He's a good player, comes off the bench, but how do you think these rotations will change as we go forward? Because it does sound like Willie Green's going to tinker and try different things.
He is, and you could see it on opening night. So, again, this comes down to preseason, I think, right? No Brandon Ingram for four games, no Zion Williamson for five. They essentially treated preseason like training camp, which means we're kind of in preseason for New Orleans right now, and I expect these first 5 to 10 games to kind of them be just figuring things out that they weren't able to do during those preseason games, which is a little bit disappointing. But it means they're going to change the rotation. They're going to tinker a whole lot. And look, he played 12 guys in last night's game. That's not an NBA rotation. You need to cut that down to 9, 10 guys, maybe. And I think he'll start to realize who fits and who doesn't. There's been maybe a bit of an over-reliance on Garrett Temple, who played 15 minutes in last night's game. Tomas Satoransky played almost 9 minutes in last night's game. They combined for 0 points. They took a total of 2 shots in those minutes. That's not going to get it done. I think as he starts to figure out who fits, who doesn't, the rotation kind of gets cut down a little bit, and you're playing your best players more rather than some of these guys that are honestly a little bit of filler. I think that's going to help the team improve, but it's just going to take a couple of games to get to that point.
You know hoops more than I do, sir. So I'm going to ask you this. All right. Could a guy like a Trey Murphy, because he struggled on some open shots there and stuff, looks his first game, I understand that, but could he be somebody that it's easier to get into the flow of a game if he starts? And look, I love his size. He can play defense. He's got basketball IQ, can provide offense. That's kind of why I was like, maybe I go in that direction. Or even Herbert Jones, who was an SEC Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. Because those two guys, I know they're rookies. But would that make sense in terms of, hey, getting them out there into the flow of the game when everybody's not even still sweating yet may not be a bad thing?
No, I think that may be better suited when Zion Williamson is out there on the court. When Zion's out there, you're asking Trey Murphy to be your fifth guy. You know, it's a rookie that's stepping into a situation where there isn't a lot of pressure. He can kind of, again, use cliches, right? Let the game come to him. He doesn't need to do too much. He can kind of be that spot-up shooter, get kind of acclimated to the NBA style of play, and it's even different than preseason. So I think that makes a lot more sense when Zion is potentially out there, depending on the lineups that they want to run. But I agree with you. You know, one thing I said in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is even with him with the second unit, would have been a good idea for Willie Green to maybe draw up some more actions, some more plays specifically for Trey Murphy to get him going. Mm-hmm. He didn't hit a three until late in the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand and it didn't matter anymore. And that wasn't the type of player that we saw in summer league, that we saw in preseason when he was hitting, you know, 6 threes in multiple games. So trying to kind of find ways to spring him out there on the perimeter, almost force feed him the ball a little bit with that second unit when you're maybe against guys that aren't as good as those starters might be a good way to kind of get him involved a little bit more, kind of get him up to speed with the goal of eventually him being a starter. And look, he looks like he's going to be a starter for this Pelicans team probably at some point this year, I think.
Right.
And I think we're all really excited about that. But okay. I think it might be a little bit too early just for that, but it shouldn't take necessarily too long to be able to get there.
And that's why I asked you to give me some perspective on that. I mean, we still have 80-plus games to go. And
we got some time, Gus.
Yeah, I know. I want it now. Chicago, we saw the preseason game. Do I take anything out of that or not? Obviously, B.I. didn't play, but do I take anything out of it? And how tough is this matchup tomorrow? Zach LaVine impressive in his debut?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit worried about Zach LaVine. He was great the other night for the Chicago Bulls, scoring above 30 points for them. And we saw if Furkan Korkmaz can get open and get threes off, Zach LaVine's certainly going to be able to do that. So you really need Nikhil Alexander-Walker to step up on the defensive side of the ball there. I wouldn't be shocked if Trey Murphy draws some of that assignment as well. Maybe they try and throw some length at Zach LaVine to really try and slow him down. But that's kind of one of the big keys for the game is if you can slow him down, I think this team can be okay. In preseason, the Bulls were playing kind of at a different level than every other team in the league. They really wanted to try and kind of prove a point that they were back or that their offseason wasn't kind of as weird as it was. That, you know, they spent a lot of money. They made a lot of moves. I don't know if it all fits entirely. But they were out to prove a point. I think they're still going to be out to prove a point, and they look a little bit more refined than the Pelicans do already. So this is a tough matchup. you know, Valanciunas shouldn't have another 3-for-19 game, but they've got a lot of size there. With Vucevic, who can shoot from the perimeter, it puts him in kind of an awkward spot. I'm not expecting the Pelicans to win this game. If they can keep it close, I'm going to feel pretty good. But slow down Zach LaVine. That's kind of like the biggest key to this one, I think. Sometimes it can be really simple, and it's like slow down the best player.
I mean, those 34 points, the other thing that stood out, Jake, is he went to the line 11 times, made all 11. The closest next bull that went to the free throw line was Williams and DeRozan twice. So he was the only bull shooting free throws in the season opener against Detroit at Detroit. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Jake, as always, appreciate the time. So looking forward to talking a little basketball as the season goes on.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy to be here.
Yep, for sure. Jake Madison, folks, go give a follow at Nola Jake on Twitter. And I know you're already listening to the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Quick break. We come back. The voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore, joins us. The Wave play football tonight on ESPN. 6:30 kickoff, taking on the 21st ranked SMU Mustangs. We'll talk to him about that next on ESPN New Orleans.
So you take the left, I take the right. Under arrest, we're under fire. Oh, 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 oh. I don't want to go to heaven if I can't get in. You take the low, I'll take the high. You lock the gate, I hear the choir. Everybody got a problem with the way.
Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
If you've got an insurance question, you could talk to a dentist. But instead of filling you in on ways to save on your policies, he'd probably be too busy filling in that loose crown. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, who will use their expertise to polish up your policies, from home and auto to renters, motorcycle, boat, and RV too. So while, yes, your dentist can save your smile, your GEICO agent could save you money, which will make you use that smile a whole lot more. To find a GEICO agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step 1. Shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store. We're so you.
You know him?
To be honest with you, Fitz, this letter will not change a lot for me.
You love her.
There's no simple solution how to move forward. You mentioned if you could go back in time.
Sarah Spain, Jason Fitz, Spain and Fitz.
We're back.
He's not going to feel it the same way. It's like a Harden or a Westbrook.
Today is a dark, dark day for the New York Knicks.
He's allowed to benefit from the hype of us promoting him to MVP level.
And they let him go for nothing.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
At Corey Glore is going to follow the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. We'll call baseball, basketball, and currently calling football as well, and occasionally calls me friend. What's up, Corey? How are you, sir?
Gus, you are a great friend today. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited about this because it does add new teams, and by judging by the win-loss record, it may help Tulane. Six schools, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, Rice, UAB, have accepted invitations to join the American Athletic Conference, the league, announcing today. So we talked about it last week. We speculated. We've been going back and forth personally during the week as to what this is going to happen. It's here. I talked to Coach Fritz a little bit about it on Tuesday and his thoughts on it. So, Corey, now that you know that those schools are going to be here, my guess, it says they could join the 23-24 season. So as early as that. So it's right around the corner that's going to happen. What's your sort of, I guess, feel from other people about this move to the conference? Is it positive or negative?
I think it's a mix of both, frankly, Gus. I think there is some positivity in that they feel the American and Tulane spot in it is now back stable after a few weeks where we weren't quite sure what the American was going to be moving forward. You know, I think some of these schools of this six are very appealing, and folks around that I've talked to like the addition of UAB. Certainly, that was the obvious one. You and I have talked about that. You know, you get some backing from Florida Atlantic for Charlotte. You know, they all bring something similar to the table, just in different spots in their investment right now. But I also think there's a couple of head scratching, you know, feels to the six that are being added. North Texas is the kind of the biggest one where it doesn't quite, you know, it makes sense on the surface, but it kind of is what do they bring to the table sort of deal. So I think Tulane and the people I've talked to, they're happy that now it seems as though the American as a league is back on better footing than maybe a couple weeks ago, but where there may be other options to bring in aside from some of the ones that are coming in. They're probably some better choices.
So it's going to add 14 teams now in football and in basketball. I'm assuming, what, 2 7-team divisions, and we'll do what we've had in the past where you have the East and the West and then you meet for a conference championship. That would make sense. Is that what you're hearing?
I haven't heard much about how it might formulate. I would think that's where we're going to head. It, frankly, trying to manage a 14-team league without divisions seems a little unruly. And when you have four schools in Texas plus a Tulsa just north of there, and you got Memphis and Tulane not far from that group, that seems like a pretty obvious division to me. But we'll see, because now there are more schools kind of within the footprint already, and, you know, UAB is right in the dead center of it. So where do you put them? And, you know, Temple is on an island now, so where do they go? So, I'll be interested to see how they structure, if they're going to go east-west like they did in the past, or if they try and get a little bit more creative with how they put the divisions in place.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how you come up with a total of 14, right, and in doing all of that. So we'll see how it affects basketball as well, and, you know, we await for all of that to take place. In the meantime, you got some football to be played here. Half the season's been played. Tulane's 1-5, Corey. If I had to ask you, if I was under a rock, if I was, you know, I don't know, in space, and I came to you and I'm like, why is Tulane 1-5? What are you telling me?
They've gotten out of the gate slowly in every game. And even though they have caught up in most of those games, they haven't finished in most of those games. They have given up defensively the most yards per game to their opponents that their opponents have had all year, season highs in every game for their opponents in yards per game. And then the offense has had moments of fluidity, but it has been sluggish to open games and sluggish to finish games. And so that there's some pretty obvious flaws defensively right now, and then there is some inconsistency offensively.
One of the things that Coach Willie Fritz talked about, speaking with Corey Glory, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, that Coach Fritz talked about back on Tuesday was a chance to just kind of take a deep breath, but also heal up. Corey, how banged up was Tulane? I know you and I always joke about there is no body part that's probably not bruised on the starting quarterback or their Michael Pratt, but in all honesty, were they banged up going into the bye week?
They were pretty well beat up, and frankly, it stems from, really, you can kind of trace it back to week 3 against Ole Miss. Not only did that game beat up this team kind of mentally a little bit, that was the end of the Birmingham trip, it was a rain delay game, and they got blown up there by Ole Miss, but that was when Nick Anderson went down, and he is such an integral part of what this team defense looks like, and he'll be back tonight. But there were a bunch of other injuries that came out of that. That forced guys up into different roles, and then injuries came in there. They were really beat up following that game to Houston 2 weeks ago. And now this is about as healthy as this team has been, even heading into the year, with what they're doing heading into SMU tonight. So there were a ton of guys that were ailing, and now you actually get some of them back here for the second half of the year.
When you speak to Coach Fritz and you're, you know, around this team, especially here on the travel, I talked to him Tuesday and I said, is your message as simple as, hey, the first half of the season's over and done with, now we focus on the next six games? And he said, yeah, I think his exact phrase was, I told the team to flush it because it wasn't very good. Is it as simple as that, Corey, just to try to look at this? Because, look, you got Cincinnati next week. You got a ranked team today. It can get overwhelming when you think of it of that nature. Is it just as simple as one game at a time and the next six games?
I think it's simple to say. I think it'll be a little bit challenging in practice just because of who the next two opponents are, no question. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll have to play very close to perfect, and you'll probably have to play your best game of the year tonight against an SMU offense that has lit up pretty much everybody, and then add another layer onto that next week when Cincinnati's in town. So I think that is what the message has certainly been to this team since they got back to practice last week and heading into the game tonight, where they know that if they believe that they're still a good team, that they're a high-quality team, that they're a deep team, then this is the time to put it back into place, because they felt that starting at the year, especially 2 weeks into the year, and then things have gone amiss. So, I think, a lot of these guys left campus right after the Houston game, went home for a few days, and just kind of cleared their head and got healthy, and they came back, and it was a different practice schedule with a Thursday game to this week, but there is a sense of recharging here for this group, and it's good to see, because I think there's still a lot of talent on this team and a pretty deep team for what Tulane has had in years past, and we just haven't quite seen it.
At Corey Glores, the way to follow Corey, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave over on Twitter. All right, so I asked you to tell me why Tulane's 1-5. Why is SMU undefeated and ranked 21st?
Well, they've got one of the most accurate passers in the nation in Tanner Mordecai, Oklahoma transfer, and this team averages 40 points a game. They also have, they have great wide receiving weapons. It seems like they always do. Just some big guys on the out wide, Danny Rice and Reggie Robertson. Those are the two main guys. And they also get Grant Calcaterra, who transfers from Oklahoma, who was a stud when Kyler Murray was there. And this is finishing out his college career here this year. And then Ulysses Bennett, the running back, was rookie of the year last year in the league. So they attack you in so many different ways. And it's led, frankly, Gus, by one of the best offensive lines in the country. They've only given up one sack on the year, six games in. Defensively, they're average, I would say. I think Tulane can get to this defense, but they're going to need to, because this might be a shootout type game if SMU plays the way they want.
Really? Shootout, huh? Is that kind of, that wouldn't be a bad thing, though, if you're Tulane, right? I mean, because for that to sort of happen, that means you sort of feel you can score on them. What kind of matchups do you think favor, perhaps, Michael Pratt and the Wave offense against the Mustang defense?
Well, yeah, I say shootout kind of in just the general blanket term, Gus. I think Tulane will want to try and for the first time this year establish a better running game. I think that's the message coming out of the bye week, is we got to get back to a little bit of the bread and butter of Tulane offense here and see what they can do with Cam Carroll. Tajay Spears is 100%, and he looked it against Houston 2 weeks ago on the backfield, and YG Booker has been a great weapon back there. So I think they feel if they're going to have to match SMU scoring, they're going to have to do it by leading possessions and scoring with the running game setting it up. And so that's where I think they might have maybe an actual advantage here tonight. They've worked on it heading into this game. They think they can get the middle of this SMU defense with the running attack and maybe limit as many possessions as possible here in a game like this, because SMU won't take long to score on.
I think one of the backdrops to this as well, especially since we talked, Corey, with, conference additions and things of that nature, Coach Fritz on Tuesday said there are very few schools that sort of fits or are sort of similar to Tulane's model, program, academics, things of that nature. He mentioned SMU as being one. They've lost six straight to this school. And I think if you want to start, and you're seeing them be ranked, you've had some guys go to the NFL, they've been ranked the last couple of years. Is this a school you sort of look at? Look, I mean, there's Memphis and there's Cincinnati. I know they're leaving, but there's other schools that maybe you can't sort of compete at because of the entrance and, the amount of people and students that you can get and all of that. But at some point, like SMU, right? That's a school like Tulane's got to start getting some W's against this team, huh?
Yeah, I would agree with you. The private schools that are in the American, you got to start whacking up wins. I think against SMU,
you know, Temple is private. Tulsa, I believe, is private. Like, these are the types that you saw Tulsa last year make a run to the title game in this league. And so, like, these are the schools to try and model on a little bit. And I think Tulane felt they were at that spot after last year, in the last couple of years, and this has been a step backward this year. And now you got, whenever they come about, you bring Rice into the fold as well, who's in a similar boat. So you have like-minded schools and athletic departments here in this league that you've seen have, in SMU's case, a great amount of success in not just managing their, you know, academic requirements, but also their return from the death penalty and what this program had been years past. And so there are models to follow here if Tulane can put it all back together, and I think they can.
Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, 6:30 tonight kickoff, and of course we'll check you out over on Tulane Radio, sir. Good luck, you know. Let's see what happens tonight.
Gus, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk again next Thursday. Go check them out over on the Tulane Sports Radio Network. All right, quick break. When we come back, we will talk with Coach G. We'll talk football, as in F-U-T-O-B-O-L. I forgot how to spell. It's soccer talk when we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
There's some kind of blessing here, but you have missed your cue. So keep your eyes set on the horizon, on the line where blue.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for two big days only this weekend at the Ilario Center in West Wego. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Ilario Center in West Wego to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community. With a fresh, new inventory arriving daily and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So your headlights are getting dim? With the seasons changing, now's a great time to change them. Upgrading your headlights can ensure you'll be safe and ready to handle darkness and fog. Oh, and we recommend replacing in pairs. That way you won't have uneven lighting over time. You can get all of your lighting needs fast with our next day delivery and free same day store pickup. Getting the job done just got easy.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Now let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. Sports Hangover. Pat Gcon Terry. We like to call him Coach G. He joins us weekly to talk a little soccer. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing very well, man. How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Lots of football talk here as well, but we can't forget about the round ball, sir. Lots of action going in and around the area. Did I ever get your takes, obviously, with the U.S. doing what they needed to do in this last, I guess, pod? It's going to be a bit. You got a couple of games, two games coming up, November 12th and 16th, Mexico, Jamaica. But how did you think that they did against Jamaica, Panama, Costa Rica, getting two W's?
The points were desperately needed, so I'm glad we got at least 6 points. Yeah, 7, 9 points, but a heck of a lot better.
That's all we need, is just keep on getting those 3 points. So Mexico is going to be a tough challenge, always is. That's our biggest rival. Jamaica is always hit or miss. However, we are going to play at their stadium in Jamaica, which traditionally we don't do that well. So I'm hoping to get at least 4 points out of this next round. Canada is tied with us. They're looking strong just as much as United States is. So 3 points against Mexico to definitely would help us out securing that top, those top spots to move on or to be qualified for the World Cup. Definitely Jamaica's going to give us a little fit, but if we score 4 points against Jamaica and Mexico, we're looking good to move on to the qualifying or qualifications for the World Cup. So we're looking good, man. But the question is right now, who will be available to play?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into. How much is that available? Because we kind of saw that be an issue in those three games.
Yeah, and with Pulisic right now, he's still, I think I'm reading from Chelsea, he's still not ready to even train with the first team yet. And he's been out since, what, early September? So a good month and a half, almost 2 months, he's been out. This is his sixth major injury with Chelsea in 2 years. So the longevity of his body and moving forward is going to be kind of a question mark. So we don't know if we're going to have him. Gio Reyna already said he's going to be out with his hamstring. So right there, losing two of our studs. Dest right now for Barcelona is looking pretty good. He had that great upper 90 goal the other night against Costa Rica. But one guy who's making a huge name for himself right now is Ricardo Pepi of FC Dallas. He asked them to leave, and he spoke with Wolfsburg over in German in the Bundesliga. Right now, it looks like they're the top choice to actually pull him away from MLS, which is awesome. We always want our stud to be playing over in Europe. That's where they'll receive better coaches, training, so forth and so on. But other teams are truly interested in him, which makes me very excited, is the Ajax, Bayern Munich, Dortmund, Inter Milan, Liverpool, they're all chasing them. And when I hear those clubs chasing any kind of American player, it's looking good. So the promise for him and his future is looking really good. I just hope he stays humble. I hope that he continues to play hard and just to absorb all everything that the coaches are going to teach him. He's 19 years old, so he's definitely malleable like that. So the upside is looking really good. Again, he's going to be hopefully playing over in Europe. A couple more guys go over to Europe, be awesome. But with Pulisic as well as Reyna being out right now, it's going to be question marks in our middle. So that's why getting the most points, hopefully 4 points out of Mexico and Jamaica the next round is going to be very important just because our mid is kind of lacking right now. One thing I did not like the last set of games is when they put in Steph and they took out Matt Turner for our goalie. Okay. I know you and I kind of discussed here and there about just new lineups all the time, and I'm just a big fan of keeping that same lineup as much as possible, maybe one or two kind of guys subbing in, subbing out kind of thing. But when you have a goalie who has proven so far up to this point that he is your number one guy, even though Stefan is signed by Man City, they're the backup goalie, but he has not played for U.S. And again, you try to get that team chemistry. You try to get all the points possible. You want to qualify for the World Cup. So when they threw Stefan in, it just seemed like they really just threw off the team. And Costa Rica scored, what, the first minute, less than a minute into the game. And that was very shocking. And I think with Matt Turner, if he was in there, a lot of that smaller stuff, saving communication, just the flow of the game, even very early on, knowing where your defense is because you've been playing with them, I think that really kind of cost us that one goal. Luckily, United States came back. We won 2-1. But those things will catch up to us with the constant kind of turnover of lineups. So I'm hoping Buchholter will have a solidified lineup coming up and just let those, you know, starting 11 play as much as possible together.
One of the things we can wrap up on here, sir, and I'll get your quick take on a matchup or two you want us to pay attention to over the weekend with the EPL and stuff, is the match, right? El Clasico. Is that all you have to say to soccer fans? And they know exactly what that means. Barcelona, yep. Real Madrid, 247th meeting. I saw a stat earlier today. Anywhere between 75 to 100 million people watch this. 180 countries will be able to watch this game. That's absurd.
Yeah, and this is twice a year too. Like these, you know, Barcelona, Madrid, they're huge games where people from all over the world will actually fly to the stadiums and everything. It's a Super Bowl game. It's a Super Bowl in a regular season. That's how much hype this game is. And the legacy of the game. All the players in the past, the coaches and the trophies and championships. This is just a creme de la creme.
However, this year, both teams are kind of eh right now. A lot of the transfers in the summertime and some of the injuries have kind of knocked them down a little bit. Barcelona's had an awful year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Messi leaving, you're kind of workhorse. So they're kind of just trying to get back to see what their identity is for this year. I think Real Madrid should take them easily. But, yeah, it's one of those things that the world is watching them. And they know, and the stadium knows that, you know, even though you have 120, 180 million plus watching, it's one of those incredible games that when you just watch it on TV, you feel the energy. You feel the fans chanting. You feel the energy. It's a beautiful game. It just stinks that it's only twice a year. Hopefully it can be more than that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I would love the English teams will kind of get that kind of rivalry, and they do, but not to the level of Spain, because Spain's they're fans chant all the time, the flares, the drums, like, I love it. I kind of wish that England, even here in America, if we kind of get that, I think that it would be so awesome. I think the sports will kind of actually fly even more up in the sky, the more money, all that stuff, because the fans are really going to buy into it. And Uncle Leo and I were talking the other day, soccer fans and soccer people, we're a little different. How we are part of the team. So a lot of times when you hear me on ESPN with you guys, I say us and we a lot, because soccer fans, we think we're part of the team. So when I say my Arsenal and my, I think I'm part of the team. Even though I'm not, I give them the money to watch them, I give them the money for the uniforms and stuff like that. But soccer fans, we're just a unique individual group. So when we see our teams play, especially kind of Super Bowl games, man, we get excited. The whole world gets excited. Just thinks only twice a year.
I mean, a pig's head was thrown at a player in one of these matches. Like, yes, looking at the photo of it, man, it's incredible when you look at it like this, man. Who you like? Who do you like on Sunday? Go ahead.
Well, how do you sneak in a pig's head? you have like a Batman costume, and you kind of hopefully kind of slide it in. You have a pig's head. I don't know. Some weird stuff has happened. Even like octopuses in Joe Louis Arena with the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. You know, so every team has a little animal distinction that they throw on the ice or throw on the pitch. It's just kind of weird to me, but hey, that's sports. You gotta love sports. I like Real Madrid. I think they're just looking good. I think the team chemistry is really good. Their players are they're playing with each other for a while, at least 2 years, the core of the team. So that makes a huge difference. Where Barcelona is, again, still trying to find who they are, trying to find their identity and stuff like that this year, because, again, once you lost Messi, it's a whole new team, a whole new setup, a whole new dynamic. So Real Madrid just steady right now, so I have them at least 3-1.
All right. Pat G. Conteri like to talk each and every week about a little soccer, the beautiful sport, as you call it, man. Thank you so much, man. Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend. We'll talk next week.
Awesome. I appreciate you always having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Yeah.
For sure, quick break. When we come back, it'll be our number three of the Sports Hangover. We'll touch on as well about this rumor that looks like it's going on. It could be by Tuesday. It could be by the end of the week, depending on what you see. And in Miami, reporters are saying there's no truth to it. It looks like the Dolphins and the Texans are trying to work out a trade, Deshaun Watson for Tua. Some thoughts on that coming up here as well. We can play. As Booger McFarland had this to say.
A top 10 quarterback in football, and for a franchise that hasn't had one of those since Dan Marino, you got to think that Stephen Ross and the owners down there, they are hell-bent on getting a franchise quarterback because their defense is pretty good now. You have some decent skill position players. You get your franchise quarterback, and you can continue to build your team.
That's if he plays, though, right? Here's Keyshawn Johnson.
Do I anticipate Deshaun, if he is traded, to play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins this year, if he's traded by the trade deadline? No, I don't anticipate that. But it's like an investment in this case, in this situation. You're done with Tua. You're done with it. So you're moving him. Jacoby Brissett could take you through the rest of the season until your star quarterback is cleared or whatever is worked out to a situation that he can now get back on the field for you.
Interesting to make that move and then move forward starting next season. Tua, not even really given a year. Interesting from that perspective, right? Remember, Dolphins could have drafted Justin Herbert. All right, hour two in the books, hour three next, and you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.